Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, June 7th, 2011, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Tonight, we're pleased to welcome Jalayla Starr as a contactee, messenger, and channel for the Nibiruan Council. Jalayla is focused on getting the ninth dimensional Nibiruan's message of hope out to the world and continuing her counseling work. With the Nibiruans, she assists starseeds and walk-ins with multidimensional ascension tools, along with an accelerated program for DNA recoding. She's also a spiritual business coach, helping you to do what she did, walking away from her successful 3D business world to answer the calling to a career with a higher purpose. She's written two books entitled We Are the Nibiruans and The Mission Remembered, as well as doing extensive counseling, workshops, and public speaking. Her website is www.nibiruancouncil.com, and I'll spell that for you, NIBIRUANCOUNCIL.com, and I have posted that on the comments section of our show page. We'd like to give special thanks to Purple Sage tonight for handling the switchboard and the chat room this evening, since Mystic is caring for her son, who's pretty sick, so she needs to take care of him. We'd appreciate your chat being on topic, and Purple Sage will be forwarding your questions to us from the chat room for those who can't call in. And if you can call, our number is 917-889-8292. 917-889-8292. Then press 1 so we know you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. As always, we ask you to be brief with your comments and questions, and tonight only comments or questions concerning our topic. Now, before we get started, I'd like to ask everyone listening for your help. As you know, our motto is empowering Starseed to better serve the planet. And one of the best ways we can do that is to increase our visibility. Even though we've had almost 38,000 listens to our show, so far only 318 have registered at Blog Talk Radio and clicked the word follow on our show page. If we could really increase our number of official followers, we'll have a better chance of increasing our visibility and being a featured show here. So please register for free and click the word follow on our show page. And the Starseed Radio Academy team is so grateful for your help. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. That's starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. I want to let you know that since Lavendar's waiting list for Starseed confirmations has grown to almost a four-week wait, she won't be available for new ones until she gets caught up. In the meantime, I'll continue to do the confirmations, which we call a Stage 1 reading, and you'll get your natal and progress charts plus an MP3 of your reading pointing out and explaining your star markings if you have them. Our Stage 2 readings, which are a one-on-one phone consultation, do get priority and include the Starseed confirmation if you haven't had one. And both Lavendar and I are available for the Stage 2 personal consultation. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing. This is a time when your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so don't miss it. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Good evening, ladies.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hello, everyone. This is going to be a great show. I'm very excited to have our friend Jalayla join us. So have you seen her hand come up yet? Is she on the line?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
Oh, yes. And good evening to you, Sierra.
Good evening. How are we all doing this evening?
Doing great.
And we're really looking forward to Jalayla's information. So without further ado, we're going to welcome Jalayla Starr. Hello, Jalayla. You're on the air.
Hello. How are all of you?
We're doing great. And I'm just so excited to have you on. So I thought that we would start by saying, you know, if you would give us a little brief history of your life and how you came to know what you know, and just kind of give us an early spot check on, you know, your earlier life when you started developing. Just give us a little history, and then we'll get into the main material.
Okay. Well, let's see. I kind of awakened in 1993 after a series of events that kind of jolted me out of my normal life. At the time, I was a single mom, an entrepreneur with a booming small business, and not at all interested in anything spiritual. And I had just started a relationship that was really probably one of the best of my life. But life was rocking along pretty good. And then over a period of 9 months, my life just turned to hell. It just, like someone came along and ripped the, you know, the foundation apart. And I went through a series of crises that involved my health, my daughter, legal issues, custody battles, losing a child, you name it. I went through it, and at the end of it, I was pretty much brought to my knees. And at that point, I prayed for the first time in probably years that if there was a God, because I had stopped believing in God, I needed help. And then about 3 or 4 days later, I had a dream, and a dream, this being came to me, and I write about it in my second book, The Mission Remembered, about that dream and how he said to me before he left, he said, we had work to do together. So woke up from that dream and thought I had been possessed. I didn't have any other word for it. But it's amazing how when you start working with beings on the other side, everything is already set up in advance to move you to the next step. So I went to work that next day, and I just hired a girl to become an associate for me to help me out. And I said, you will not believe what happened. So I told her about the dream, and she says, well, you know, she pulled a piece of paper out of her purse. She says, I was at a gathering last night. See, she was spiritual. I wasn't. And she said, I found this lady, and here's her number. She's a psychic. You might want to call her. Well, I hadn't been to a psychic in years, and when I did it, I was sure I was going to get possessed after that because, see, I came out of a very fundamental religion, which was all about hell and damnation and, you know, don't talk to anybody on the other side. So... but I was desperate, so I called the lady, and of course, she had an opening. So I went and saw her, and long story short, she confirmed who this, you know, this being was a spiritual master. And she said to me as I was leaving that day, she kind of over her shoulder, she says, you know, if you listen to what he has to say, he might help you become more than you ever thought possible. So at that point, I had nothing to lose and everything to gain, so I listened. And then over the next 3.5 years, he took me through a lot of intense emotional clearing. And then at the end of that period, he revealed to me who I was, that I was a walk-in. He revealed to me what planet I was from. And then I started into the next stage of what I later found was my training. I had just been through basic training, and now I was going into intermediate training. So that's kind of how I got started.
Oh, goodness. I think that those stories are very similar to a lot of people that have awakened and become on the path. And you mentioned that you were a walk-in. One of the things I really wanted to talk about tonight is walk-ins, because we have our audience is really quite advanced in a lot of areas dealing with walk-ins. And I have a lot of clients that are walk-ins, and with the walk-ins coming up to the planet so rapidly now and have been for some time, I'd like to shift now and just kind of go into the walk-in presentation, if you don't mind. Hello?
I think we lost her.
Oh.
Her connection didn't sound really good.
Okay.
And looks like she was cut off somewhere, so I guess it's time for a little two-step here while we're waiting for Jalayla to call back in. Oh, there she is. Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, you're back.
Oh, sorry about that. I've just upgraded to an iPhone, and I ended up hitting the wrong button. I touched the screen, and I didn't realize how sensitive it was.
Okay. I was saying that I really wanted to pursue the walk-in information. I think that we have an audience that really appreciates information about walk-ins. So if you would just kind of give us a brief definition of what you think a walk-in is, and maybe an experience that can relate to our audience.
Okay, well, to me, a walk-in is a soul exchange or a soul braid. In fact, I've learned that there are different types of walk-ins. There are, for example, the soul braid is a soul braid with another soul. It can be part of your soul family or a higher self that exists in another reality. And it can come in and braid with your soul for a period of time to assist you, as well as be able to carry out whatever it needed to carry out. And then it would leave. I found out that there is a form of walk-in that I call a stasis walk-in, and this is the one I went through, where there is a soul alive on another dimension. They go into stasis and project their consciousness into another reality or into another timeline, another dimension, and into another body that has a soul, is of the same soul lineage. In other words, this, in my case, was a very ancient oversoul or soul grandmother, you could say, who was alive in another reality, and she explained to me about her reality. And she came into my body, and my soul, original soul, moved out. She seated in and was here for, I think, about 10 years, maybe 12 years, carried out her work, and then she left and went home. And then the original soul came back, which I didn't know a soul can come back into a body. I thought they could only go out. I didn't know they could come back. So I went through a walk-in and a walk-out, then a walk-in, like a revolving door. And then while she was here, I learned from her, you know, about the history, because she came to affect the timeline, because, she, you know, for them, all time is now. And they realize that they can move to a different location in the future, as we call it, and interject themselves and work on the timeline, that can have an effect both future and past as we know it. So it took her 12 years to do her job. And then move on. But so that is the thing I wanted to say was that there were times when I would be asleep, the body would be asleep, and there would be memories of her returning home, waking up from stasis, being helped out of the stasis chamber, walking down the hall with people on either side of her, going into meeting rooms for a debriefing, and then coming back. And I just thought at the time I was kind of going crazy, but then I found other people who had similar experiences. So that's a stasis walk-in. And then there is the walk-in that is a full exchange. There's no going back or forth. One soul leaves, the other one comes in. They take up residence and they stay there until the body dies. So, and then, you know, soul braids can come and go. You can have several of them. You can have, in a short period of time, which I think is very hard on the body. And I see a lot of people who go through several braids, and it does really affect them. It makes it very hard for them. So, I mean, there's just all kinds length or duration of time for a walk-in. And the degree to which it braids is different, too. Some are very short, what I call light braiding. They don't get in and really overlay all of your tapes. They come in and they may overlay one or two, just enough to get done what they have to do, because they can't affect a change in this dimension unless they're in physical form. That's the rule. But how long they have to stay and to what degree depends. So I know it's a long-winded explanation, but that's my understanding.
That's a very good explanation. In fact, I have, you know, have written a lot about walk-ins. I, you know, there's the permanent walk-in, which you talked about, temporary walk-in, and a walk-in's walk-in. You know, there's just different, there's not a one-pat answer for walk-ins. And there are those that come that are catalyst walk-ins. They're here only to activate maybe other walk-ins. And then the activating walk-ins, I find that they're the ones that have the blood crystals and the memory traces of all the different extraterrestrial starseed experiments on the planet. There's just so many combinations. And I know of several that can actually have all of those characteristics in one. Have you found that?
I deal with starseeds and I deal with walk-ins, but probably not to the same degree that you do. But I've seen all different kinds. I don't know if I would, I've never classified any of them as an activator, but that doesn't mean that, you know, that's not the case. And it may be because I come from a different angle with it.
Yeah. Well, we all have a different piece to the tapestry.
Yeah.
No. So, well, tell us a little bit about the Nebru connection and what is happening with walk-ins from their perspective.
Well, my understanding is that Nibiru is a clearinghouse and a training area for a lot of the walk-ins who come to Earth, because Earth is the grand experiment in polarity integration. And it, as a result, it has an overseeing planet, and that happens to also be the planet of what I understand is the parent race of Earth, of the human form. They were the ancient Sumerians. So Nibiru, my connection to Nibiru was I was sent here from Nibiru. I came through Nibiru to Earth, and I had a lot of my training on there. But my original, where I came from originally was from a ship, actually. It was a mothership that I later learned was called, as far as I know, Pelagay. It was a Lyran a flagship, one of the last flagships that survived the Lyran intergalactic war. This was on a timeline long, long ago. And as I understand it, they were time travelers and time healers, because their job was to weave the timelines of destroyed planets into the timelines of existing planets, that the souls that were on the destroyed planet could migrate and continue their evolution. And as I understand it, my homeworld was a Lyran homeworld, which was supposedly the original homeworld of the human species where they first started. That was destroyed in a war. And I'm just an old girl. I've been around a long, long time. and kind of seen it all, done it all, played both sides of the game, because as a soul, like everybody else, I'm here to integrate light and dark, and you can't integrate anything you've not experienced.
That's
so
true.
As a time healer and a time traveler, I came through Nibiru kind of getting my passport, if you will, and my papers to be able to come to the Earth experiment, walk into a body, and do the work I needed to do to help alter the future in a positive way.
Well, I think that your story is very compelling, and I tell me again about the two books that you've written.
My first book I wrote at the beginning of my mission, and it's called We Are the Nibiruans, Return to the 12th Planet. It was a book that was channeled to me in a matter of weeks, literally. Every time I tried to avoid writing it, every obstacle that I put in the way, they just quickly removed and got it written. And it was basically their first handbook to humanity about, okay, we're here, we're your parent race. Let us tell you a little bit about the history of the human species. Let's tell you about how you recompile your 12 DNA strands, because, yes, we did unplug them. So that was the first book written at the beginning of the mission, and then the final book was written, it's called The Mission Remembered. It was written at the end of the mission, where I was able to fill in all the blanks about the history, because I had kind of like an outline of the history from the remote viewing that they took me on during training. But I didn't have all the pieces filled out. So over 10 years of working on the timeline, I was able to kind of flesh that out. And it also doubled as a training aid, if you will, for Starseed walk-in missions, because I'm both a Starseed and a walk-in. And I, sorry about that buzzer. I'm a Starseed and a walk-in who has completed a mission with all of its assignments. It took me 10 years. So they wanted me to write the book as not only fleshing out the history, but also saying, okay, Starseeds and walk-ins, here's where many of you came from. This is part of what you came to work on. So now that you know this piece, that will help activate the pieces that are held in your DNA so that you can get on with your mission.
Can you tell us a little bit about Lyra and the Lyran population and some of their tasks here on the planet? I understand that a lot of Lyrians have really high technical abilities.
From what I remember, from what was shared with me, Lyra was the first human homeworld where the first humans evolved. Their parent race were feline, the tall lion people. And they had two basic forms. They were either red-haired and green-eyed or blonde-haired and blue-eyed. They were fair-skinned for the most part. They were tribal. In other words, the male and the female ruled. It wasn't patriarchal, it wasn't matriarchal, it was a combination. They revered their ancestors. So the lion people were their ancestors, and when the lion people went off-world at a certain point, that's what a parent race does, they will basically go off-world and leave the new race to manage the planet and inherit the planet, just like when your grandparents die and leave you their estate. And you carry on in their name. So they revere the lion people, which is kind of interesting because on this planet, the lion is the king of the jungle. A cat's one of the animals that a human cannot train, they simply serve. So they went through several wars that not amongst themselves, but after they were introduced to another species that came in, a reptilian species from the Orion system that originally came in, that just the scientists came in, and it was more of a peaceful association, but then things kind of went downhill after that. And they evolved to the point of space travel. They inhabited many other stars and star systems. They colonized in the Pleiades. They colonized in the Sirius B system. the feline lion people that were from Lyra also colonized on Sirius A, from when we have a recollection of them in our ancient records and in parts of our country or our world like Egypt, where you see many of the lion-headed gods. They were Syrian A's. I guess is that enough?
Oh, yeah, that's great. That is wonderful. Well, Arielle, you're online. Do you have anything you want to ask her?
Well, yes, I did. It was kind of on the earlier topic of walk-ins. If someone were really at a point in their life like you were when they really, really needed help, do you think that someone could request a walk-in to come and assist them and kind of, you know, get them through a rough spot on a temporary basis where they could just kind of share consciousness and have a download of information or direction or guidance?
Well, you know, they could. I wouldn't suggest it, but there's a lot easier ways to get help than to have a walk-in come in, because that really does just upset all the systems. Because they're coming in from a higher vibration. A lot of walk-ins end up experiencing chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia because of the discordance in the two frequencies. It just overtaxes the parasympathetic nervous system. So I wouldn't encourage that, but it is possible.
Okay, so I've had a few emails recently from people who were seeming to be at that place, so I was kind of asking on their behalf. And but to skip forward, so and it has been my understanding from different information that I've heard from various people that the Lyrans were also the parent race of the Pleiadians, as you say, with the blonde hair and the blue eyes, which they still a main trait, although I don't think you can still be Pleiadian and not have the blonde hair and blue eyes. But
yeah, they've been interbreeding with other species.
Right. Right. So, yeah, that was just the two things that I had on my mind. Sierra, do you have a question?
No, I'm just listening. I'm completely fascinated.
Well, I thought you would be, because you are so attached to the feline kitty cats in your life. I know that you have a real affinity for the feline.
I really, really do. So that was, and then the other, maybe I do need a little bit of a clarification on something, if I may.
Sure.
Earlier when we were talking about walk-ins, there was a term that you used. I apologize for the wind. It's Wendy here. But there was a term that you used for sort of the temporary walk-in. It wasn't the braided walk-in. What was that term that you had used? I'm sorry.
Oh, I talked about a stasis walk-in.
Yes. That's
yeah,
the stasis walk-in.
Yeah, stasis walk-ins are usually a longer-term walk-in. It's not a permanent walk-in. It's a longer-term where the soul, Jalayla, was alive on this ship, and she'd enter into stasis and move her consciousness into this body and then go home at certain times. And I'd have memories of her going home, and I even have memories of her struggling with inhaling the blue liquid that they filled her lungs with that sustained her while she was gone, her body while she was gone.
That's absolutely fantastic. I actually have a braided walk-in from the Pleiades. And my experience with her sometimes is the same sort of, I get the same sort of idea, like there's more that I don't know, there's more training that I'm going through, more information that I'm getting from her. But the idea of the stasis, where she comes down just for little bits of time and then goes again and gives me information, and it just resonates. So there's more for me to explore inside of that. So I'm just really grateful that you brought that up.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It just feels very similar. And I may have one or more walk-ins that I'm working with, and so I, too, am just, I'm new at this, and so I'm really trying to make myself facile in this when people start asking me questions.
I met this lady in Dallas several years ago at one of my workshops, and, you know, I was sharing with them about going into the stasis chamber, laying down, inhaling the blue liquid, and one night I saw myself, like I was standing above myself, looking down at the pod, because the pod is a clear cover on it where you can see the body. And I remember seeing myself in the space, as a chamber, as I was floating away. And this lady comes up to me after the workshop. She says, she had tears in her eyes, and she says, "I want you to know you have finally made sense of something that I have never been able to make sense of, but has affected my life for years." And she shared with me her experience of seeing her body in a stasis chamber, and she described her body to me. And she said it was Pleiadian. So,
see, that's fascinating.
Crazy.
Oh, that's isn't it great? Isn't that great when you get validation like that, when other people come up and you have such similar experiences? It's really amazing. I do have another question.
Go ahead.
I have been having a lot of experiences recently where I will be driving it's happened a couple times while I was driving, where it feels like I'm being taken up to the ship and downloaded with a whole bunch of information and then put back in my body. Now, I know that Lavendar has talked a couple of times about this happening with her, but in your experience, is that sort of a stasis type of a thing, or how would you, with the information you have, the education you have, how would you explain or think from the technical point of it? I mean, because I know what's happening. I know that information is being downloaded and I'm assimilating it, but it's just fascinating to me that I can be doing something as technical as driving down the road and then pop back in my body and it's an hour or two later.
Well, I've had periods of time where I knew I was being downloaded, but there were times when in the early part of my walk-in, things were happening similar to that. But what I learned about it was to tell them not right now. You know, it's too dangerous for me to do this right now, because they don't always know exactly what you're doing. So, you know, part of the thing I learned, and this may not be very popular with a lot of people who are into walk-ins, but you have to set limits with these guides or with these beings, not in a hateful way, but just explain to them, you know, when they can work with you or work on you, when they cannot, because you still have to carry on your life down here. And you have to have some semblance of normalcy, or you just lose it. You're not really effective the way you could be if you can't find your balance. And they really do look for clues from you as to when to do things. If you don't give them any clues, they just do it whenever.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, well, thank you. And you know, I've had this conversation with both Ariel and Lavendar, and that's what they teach also. And I guess I need to get a little bit more refined with my request.
Yeah, that's why when I work with starseeds and walk-ins and like Lavendar and Ariel, I do a lot of that, especially now that so many are starting to wake up. The ones that we were beginning to think were not going to waken up, there's a whole crop of them, thanks to the earth changes, that are awakening now. And one of the things they need to learn is to speak up and set boundaries and take the lead. I mean, there were times when they would literally scream at me, "We don't know. You've got to tell us. We need you to give us feedback." And I'm like, "Oh, I just thought I was just supposed to follow whatever they said." They go, "No, no, no. We don't have all the answers here when it comes to the third dimension. That's your job. You agreed to help us help you." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Well,
you can make
your
walk-in hard, or you can make your walk-in easier.
Okay, well, thank you. That was all I had. I just wanted a little bit more clarification on the the stasis walk-in and your input on, you know, what we just talked about. So thank you very much, and thank you so much again for being here. We really enjoy having you here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sierra. We're going to, in a few minutes here, going to be checking in to the chat room for questions from our chat room audience. So if you have questions, please let Purple Sage know so she'll have them ready for when I pick up on her line. But before we get into questions and things like that, there's something I would ask if you would, Jalayla, because I think it's so relevant. Again, I have clients that are in very similar situations with to each other, making the break from the, you know, the third dimensional job, the corporate job. A lot of people are in employment crossroads. They've either lost the job or they can't stand it. They wish they could lose the job, but because of, you know, third dimensional, the way it is, they need help in making that transition. And when I was looking at your website, NibiruanCouncil.com, I thought that was great that you do spiritual business counseling. So would you speak about that just a little bit to let them know how, you know, what they would need to do to receive your help on that? Because I think it's something that almost every single person that I talk to, they wish that they could do something for their mission and get paid for it, be so that they could not waste their energy or you know, just doing a job that they hate.
Yeah. Well, you know, I find that there is a timing to when a starseed to walk in leaves, if they are to be one who leaves the third dimensional business world and go into something spiritual. Not every starseed to walk in has a mission that includes them leaving the third dimensional business world, because some of them are here to be a bridge, and they can't do that if they're outside of the third dimensional business world.
Good point.
So for those, I help them understand the value in where they are, and that kind of shifts a lot of their, oh, I hate my job, to, oh, okay, now I see the value of my job and I'm okay with being there. For those who do have the mission to strike out on their own and have a spiritual-based business, I will help them understand how to market it, because it is very different marketing a spiritual-based business than it is a regular business. And that's why so many of them fail. You know, they say 50% of all small businesses fail within the first 5 years. About 90% of all small spiritual-based businesses fail within the first 5 years. And it's because they do not know how to market. So one of the things that I help a lot of these small business owners with is how to get that business up and profitable within a short period of time without spending a lot of money. There is a way to do it. And it is in alignment with their mission plan. But, you know, if they don't know how to discover that, then they can end up becoming derailed. And
uh-huh.
That's very difficult, because then their guides go, okay, we're back to square one.
mm-hmm.
So, so that's how I help them.
Well, thank you. And that is the dilemma. As Lavendar says, you have to know if your name is on it. Because just because you think of something that, or you see someone else doing something and you think, oh, that's a worthy cause, I'll do that. But if your name is not on it, you won't succeed. You have to have the right passage to do that.
And then if your name is on it, but you don't know how to market, because, see, everything starts with marketing. Nothing happens till somebody sells something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rule. If you don't know how to get your widget sold, then it doesn't matter whether your name's on it.
Right.
So there's plenty of help out there. I'm not the only one who does spiritual counseling for businesses. I also have a marketing background. And I've been a small business owner, since the 90s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I raised my kids you know, by myself as a small business owner, and in a spiritual-based business, which is tough to do, but it is very doable. If you know how to do it, it's very little money. It takes time and some effort, but it takes very little money to do a spiritual-based business right and make a good living.
Well, that's great news, I'm sure, for a lot of our listeners. As I said, I see the pattern in the sessions that I do. And,
yeah.
And I do like to remind people that even though you have a feeling of urgency, that I've got a mission and I know it's really important, I'm here to do something important, but they assume that that's something like very huge and very public and high profile or you know, having a huge impact on a lot of people. But I think that the most important mission that we all share is being, you know, stable, balanced, activating other star seeds, helping to go through the shift, being alive and standing in your own light. You're already doing the work just by being here and keeping your intent in alignment with your purpose and your existence here. So,
yeah.
That being said, let's check in now with Purple Sage in the chat room for some questions from there. Hang on a sec. Okay. Hi, Purple Sage. You're on the air. How are things in the chat room tonight? Hi, people in the chat room.
Hi, Mel. Hi, Jalayla. Hi, Lavender.
Hi.
Hi, Sierra. Chat room is buzzing with all of this information, and I do have a few questions here. And a whole lot of people are experiencing a lot of what Jalayla said in what they hear from their source. A question for Jalayla. What do you think, Jalayla, about those who say Nibiru is strictly a dark plant with no positive beings present there?
Well,
okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that because it was cutting in and out.
Your connection is really sketchy, oh. So we were only hearing half syllables.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Somebody in the chat room wants to know from Jalayla who takes Nibiru is strictly a dark planet.
It's not,
with no
sweetie, it's not working. We can't understand what you're saying because the connection is kind of flaky. Don't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
Maybe she could hang up and call back.
Yeah. So you're on Skype, aren't you? Maybe there's just an overload for a second. Let me pick up one more question and then I'll come back and see if it's any better. Okay. I'm sorry, people in the chat room, but it's technology is not always cooperative. So, but I'll be right back, sweetie. Okay. We're going to pick up one more question and just hope that connection clears up. You know, all right, let me move on. We have a question here from a caller, Andrea. You are on the air. Hello.
Fantastic. Thank you for taking my call. I've actually got a number of questions since I've listened. But Jalayla, is Jalayla there? Can she hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, hi, Jalayla. I wanted to let you know that I have been working since the year 2000 when things got a little deeper for me with integration of polarities, and I've worked with it for 11 years. I had my own little Jehovah show up, and it was something that I just encircled and chose to play with that as an integration of polarities. And so I have come to a place of zero point, and I'm in balance and harmony. I'm pulling my higher self into my body. I'm experiencing that at the crown, at the heart chakra level, very full and warm and toasty. And why the hell is he still here?
Well, I don't really know how to answer that without asking him, why is he still there?
Oh, back at you. Well, the closest thing I got was Carl Jung saying this is archetypes of transformation, and that the collective consciousness calls it forth, and neither will disconnect until both are transformed.
Okay. Sounds possible
to me. All righty. Then the other question real quickly that I had is I had the Epstein-Barr and the chronic fatigue, and I was a contactee abductee in 1985, but I'm not aware of being a walk-in at all. And I have no experience of that. Where do I go to find out information of whether I'm a walk-in or not?
Well, you know, I mean, I can help you find that out. I'll call, you know, I can contact your guide, but I'm sure that Lavendar or Ariel could also help you.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
Well, is it necessary that I know one way or the other or care?
You know what? It doesn't really matter. But, you know, you just gave me the answer as to why your dude is still there.
Why?
And that is, the chronic fatigue and Epstein-Barr occur because, and this is my understanding of it, having had both,
mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. It does happen to walk-ins, but it happens more often in walk-ins who are, shall we say, chronic caretakers. They're there for everybody else but themselves. They excel at nurturing the world. And they have a I've got to be for others mentality. It started when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they don't know how to be for themselves. They don't know how to set boundaries around their energy. And so they just kind of go overboard on everything energetically. And so when this walk-in comes in, they're already taxed energetically. So the discordance, the discrepancy, or if you will, in vibrational speed just kind of sends them over the edge.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And burns out their parasympathetic nervous system. So if you have those, the reason he's still there is because there's more boundary work to for you.
Okay. Now,
so
quickly,
really
I was told by
yourself.
Eric Brunette, who's a brilliant being, has 10,000 clients, said, I'm from Sirius A, and my spiritual teacher called me Andre Leonte, which is woman lion. How do I find out if I'm from Sirius A?
Well, the same way as whether you were walk-in. You can contact
okay.
your guides and get confirmation. If you want help, have one of us help you with it and do that for you.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Andrea, thank you for calling in.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Continue to listen. Bye.
I'd like to interject something here because I have also had Epstein-Barr and chronic fatigue syndrome, and I went to my naturopath who cured me of that, of the symptoms in 3 days, and it has been dormant now for 16 years. And she said that, now it could be, I mean, there could be other reasons for it, but one of the reasons is that people who were vaccinated in the 50s and 60s they were carrying this dormant virus from the vaccination that they got. So, and it can be treated homeopathically if you find a naturopath that is, you know, pretty good. So anyone that has that, look into it. So let's see if we can go back to the chat room. And, okay, looks like Purple Sage. Hang on a second. It looks like she's called back in on a landline, so we'll have a better connection. Hello,
am I on?
Purple Sage. Yes. All right, you're on here.
Can you hear me now?
Yay!
Hello, everybody. I do have multiple questions here, and the first one is for Jalayla. What do you think about those who say Nibiru is strictly a dark planet with no positive beings present there?
Well, I think that they have bought the store as far as the propaganda about Nibiru.
Yeah. Okay. You know, when I was calling in on Skype a few minutes ago and you guys started laughing, I thought that was your answer. Until you told me you couldn't understand me.
Right.
Okay. Another question, and I've been copying and pasting from the chat, so I hope this makes sense. Envision someone given reason to believe that Jesus left the planet and joined a group who were working on seeding other planets. This person thought of it when you said that there were ships that were out doing just that. The person had several separate visions of Jesus. In one, it was in a book of Akashic records. He left the pond, in quotations, to join the greater ocean in another. He had the person summoned to a planet to inform them of his mission to seed other planets. He said they were to seed 10,000 in hopes of 500 being successful. He told the person that the planet he summoned me to was one I would be incarnated on. That person asked if he would be there with her, and he said no. He said he would be long gone by then. What is your opinion on that?
You know, I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on that. Sounds fascinating, though.
Okay.
Yeah. It seems to tie. It does seem to tie in to what we already know. As far as us personally, it makes sense.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Two more questions. One is the person would like information with regard to the Agarthans opening their portals to us for the purpose of mentoring. Any thoughts on that?
Who opening their portal?
Agarthans. It's capital A G A R T H A N S.
The people who live inside the planet.
I don't know. This is the first time.
Yeah,
I
don't. I've heard of the Agarthans, but I don't have any information on that.
Okay. We're batting 1,000 here. last question that I have at the moment. A person said they have been asked to co-create with their guidance/walk-in self, and they feel the need to connect with others. Starseed is one place, meaning our forum or our group. Wants to know if anybody else actively feels a need to connect those who are in a similar place, perhaps online. Okay, it feels to this person that a weave needs to form. And then they want me to ask about that.
Okay, I didn't understand the last part, but the first part, if I understand that correctly, if he's asking if anybody else has had a similar request from their guides or their walk-in, I think that is like what's up right now. I'm getting a lot of that. All of a sudden. So, yeah, it's a time for starseeds to start connecting and finding each other and supporting each other. Yeah, this is our time. This is what we were all sent here for. This is the time of the changes. I was told that years ago when I asked. And they said, you're here for the changes.
Yeah,
but we had to train to prepare.
Okay, so we all are feeling the need to gather, which is something very important in order for us to complete the mission, I guess. In my opinion, it's like a mass consciousness.
Well, yes, and it also will accelerate and fast track a lot of the training for starseeds if they can find each other. I mean, because stop and think about it. You have these guides that have to train the starseed. It's much easier if they can guide that starseed to a group that's already in training and can give information to that starseed that would take maybe a year or two for the guide to get across on their own.
Absolutely.
They can get it in a matter of days, and they need to fast track a lot of people right now because this, like I said, this is the time we came for, is to get humanity through these next few years.
Excellent. Okay, that's all the questions I have for now.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Purple Sage. I appreciate you calling back in on a better line. So I will check back with you in the chat room in a little while. Thanks.
Okie dokie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. We have some more callers to get to. Let's see. Let's go down. Okay, here we go. We have Ralph on the air. Hello, Ralph. You're on the air. Ralph, are you there? Do you have your mute button pushed? Okay. Ralph, your mic is open, but you don't seem to be home. So I will have to call back and check on you again. He must be having phone trouble, which could be the theme for this evening. All right, Lavendar, you're still with us. Your phone is still working, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still working. I'm good.
Okay. Oh, good.
I love all the questions that people are calling in about. This is, you know, this really shows the level of consciousness that, you know, to ask these questions. It's wonderful. I love it. It's a great time to share this kind of information.
Well, you know, this is that the last question kind of made me think about the patterns, because you are identifying these groups in the charts and actually helping to facilitate, because you see a person over here that's got these certain pattern and this person over here, and they might not know each other, but you can tell from their charts that they're part of the same soul group. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, yes. In my discovery of star markings, I'm finding that, you know, when I did discovery of star markings, I thought that'd be probably it, but now I see it's discovery of star markings part two, because now not only is an individual task of finding one-on-one, but I'm finding groups that have these similar markings, and they're not born in the same years. They're all different ages, but they seem to be tied to a central theme of an experiment, say whether it's Jesus and Mary Magdalene, or whether it's Athena and the 96 goddesses, or it's Atlantis, or it's the Native American Indians, or maybe it's genetics from 1708, 14 generation experiments here in the United States. You know, I'm just finding that there's interconnections with these souls, and some of these souls aren't just one group. You know, so I'm finding that some of them are involved in all five groups that I've just identified. So it's really intriguing to track at this level, knowing that in an astrological pattern, when you're born, then that means the DNA in your blood resonates at this frequency and harmonic with other soul groups simultaneously. So it's pretty exciting research that I'm getting ready to really put together. You know, and one day I hope that we have the software written where we can actually have people, you know, come to our website, type in their birth information, and then identify the soul groups that, you know, come up. And that way maybe others can find each other through some kind of relationship website. And I think that's something that's on the horizon.
I've always thought
that was a
great idea, because a lot of starseed, I mean, and beyond just like, you know, male-female relationship, you know, people that are just looking for their soul group. It doesn't have to be with, you know, a romantic overtone. But we have the program. We're ready to start writing. So we just have to come up with the manual, which is, that's all you, Aventar. But yeah, that is, that's coming. It is coming in the future where you can, we're going to try to make it possible for you to do it astrologically, to find your soul group. And Lord only knows what kind of activations will happen when those groups meet each other.
And,
so,
here's the test. The test is when you do have a connection that way, and it's just a matter of time for it to be true for you. You know, just because the information's there, you know, it has to run through a test of time. It has to work itself into the soul unit where the soul really knows and feels the connection with these people. And then they start having memories that are alike. And that's one of the tests, is if they start having simultaneous memories of being at these places at the same time. You know, making soul agreements to come back and to finish some of the work that they started. It's a very exciting time.
It is. And Jalayla, in your counseling, in your sessions, do you see patterns among your clients as well?
Yeah, I do. I work more off world than you know, I guess seeing soul groups here on Earth. Because my training and my reference point is a little different. But I think what Lavender is doing, I'd like to learn more about that. But I look at it more from the perspective of the ancient timelines that are going to be that are playing out here on Earth now, from the destroyed worlds that humans have been on. That, you know, they're all here on this Earth to see if they could maybe this time learn to work together and recreate those situations, but this time not destroy themselves in the process. So I see groups from different, shall we say, experiments or grand experiments or planets that are finding each other now or in certain locations where these timelines in these ancient worlds are anchored. I see them coming together. And I've seen them come together all along, you know, for different things, like a workshop where I have to work on a timeline for, say, Sirius B, the destruction and the Sirius B star system that wiped out two planets, actually almost four planets. And I've seen a lot of people that are from that timeline here on Earth, and they will end up in a workshop together. And they will all have, it's like we will open up the timeline and they'll have memories of that event. That as it's like as they open their mouth and the memories come out, that sparks somebody else's memories, and before you know it, this whole event unfolds and we're all just blown away by the experience. Or the Ashtar timeline, the one that sent a lot of them here to this timeline, the destruction there. So I see it, but I see it more on a galactic level because that's what I came here to work on. But so I think we all see it, the groupings, based on our mission, our you know, particular angle. But I'm sure they all fit together.
Yeah, and like Lavender said, it's like no one person has all the pieces. Everybody has the piece, and we have to come together in cooperation to get the big picture, because we're not allowed to see it unless we can cooperate with each other.
Right.
There was a Star Trek episode about that very thing. It's one of my favorite ones. Okay, we have some more callers here. And let me see, check back and see if Ralph is available. Ralph, are you there? Hello? Well, Ralph, if you are there, I'm trying to bring you online, and for some reason we can't hear you if your phone is on mute. But it's not coming through, so... we'll try later. Okay, bye. Don't know what is happening there. Let's talk to... oh, we have Felipe here. Hello, Felipe. You're on the air.
Hello, ladies, goddesses, star family. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. And I'm so delighted to have Jalayla here with us tonight. And sharing so much, you know, rich information. So I have two brief questions for Jalila, if I could. First
sure.
one is, I know a lot of people have misinformation about Nibiru and so forth. My question is, what part of the logistics as far as the planetary changes has Nibiru passing through our solar system at this point in time? What is your take on that, Jalila?
Okay, first of all, thank you for connecting Lavendar and I. I appreciate that. You are the
it's
one
an honor
who did
for
that,
me.
Right? Okay. Secondly, when you say logistics, could you explain that a little bit more? I don't quite understand what you're asking me.
I'm sure that it's not just passing by, you know, casually. I do sense that passing by that size of a ship through our solar system in a different, translation direction, it has to do with the particulars of our point in time in space right now that we're in the evolution of the human race on this planet. So I'm guessing that it's not just passing by and watching things just like spectators on the bleacher side cheering us up. So do you have a deeper information regarding while it's passing by, especially this year, what will be the effects of the electromagnetic field that it carries, not just Nibiru itself, but all of the other bodies that come with it?
That's a lot of questions there, Felipe.
I'm throwing everything at you. You know, I do apologize for that.
That's okay.
But Nibiru, in a nutshell, whatever is your take on that?
Okay. First of all, people have to understand what Nibiru is. Nibiru is not just one planet. Nibiru is a mini solar system. It's a brown dwarf, which is a sun that never ignited. And as a sun, even though it's not ignited, it still has a very strong magnetic field, and it has collected, if you will, all these smaller asteroids, moons, even little planetoids that travel along with it, just like our sun has what all the planets that travel along with it through space. It is basically the second sun of this solar system. Our solar system is a binary star system, like most star systems. It's just we have not been taught about our second sun. Our second sun is a brown dwarf. Its orbit is 3,600 years around the sun versus our 365 days around the sun. It's much further out in the Oort cloud than we are, although we're not in the Oort cloud. So it is not coming through in 2011, but a member of its entourage, if you will, is coming through. It has already come through once, and it's going to come back through again in September. And that is what NASA or whoever has dubbed Comet Elenin. Elenin is a smaller brown dwarf, but still heavy enough. It's like a brown dwarf is basically a big magnet. It is strong enough that it can reach, its magnetic pull reaches into the core of our planet and pulls on our tectonic plate. It's like someone yanking your hair. And when it came through back in April, or was it March or April, within a week, Japan suffered the earthquakes that it did, and then the resulting tsunamis, because Japan is part of the Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire is most susceptible to any passing of Nibiru or any member of its entourage, because Nibiru comes in from the south. And therefore, the Ring of Fire is in the southern hemisphere. So that tectonic plate is going to be pulled on first. And because it has been pulled on 2 or 3 times since the last ice age, it is one of the most fragile to such a strong magnetic pull. So it comes back through in September. At that time, we're either going to move beyond the worst of the cataclysmic prophecies around it, or we're going to experience some degree of it. We have between now and then to do enough clearing within the mass consciousness to avoid. We've already passed the worst case scenario. We're not going to experience that, but we can do even more to minimize what changes could occur, because this time it'll be only 24 million miles away from Earth, so it's going to be much closer. And the place that it's going to affect then are the ones that are fragile within the United States, and that is along the California coastline, and more importantly, not that California isn't important, but the New Madrid fault line that runs through the middle of the United States. Should that give way, the Great Lakes will dump into the Mississippi and create an inland sea 200 miles wide that will effectively destroy the United States infrastructure. So we are trying to avoid that. That is part of the, going back to the ancient timelines, which is what I was trained in and what the walk-in came for, that is tied to the Sirius B catastrophe. And the core of it, the emotional core of it, is racism. So I know that's, I don't want to get you too confused.
No. You just hit it in the nail in the head, exactly what I wanted to hear, and I'm sure it's helping a lot of the audience here tonight. That way they get clear as to that what it is. So based on everything you just said, I'm aware of the situation for California and also the Madrid fault. What is your take on the SETA group that they claim pretty much their statement is, to me I get a sense of a doom and gloom, and I'm not a doom and gloom person. I'm a very optimistic, I'm a very positive, and I know that our presence on the planet is going to make an impact, that we're here for the positive, for the light. So what is your take on who are these groups, the SETAs? Where do they come from, or what is their agenda, if you have any information on them?
First of all, you have to understand that there are many different groups out there with different levels of consciousness, and people make predictions based on their level of consciousness. That's how you can, in fact, that's how, one of the ways I was trained to tell the level of consciousness of any channeling, of any group that's channeling through to Earth, is how integrated their information is. And if they're flinging mud at somebody else, then you can pretty much imagine they're probably a third dimensional, a higher level of third dimensional, maybe a lower fourth dimensional group. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's just that's where they are in their level of evolution. So I know that there are groups out there who are saying that it's doom and gloom, but you have to understand, from their perspective, that's all they see. And then there are groups who see a different scenario, because from their level of consciousness, they know that a different reality can be created. And all these different groups are channeling through because they have members down here, and they're working with their people, trying to get their people to keep moving up in consciousness, so that the best case scenario can occur for the largest amount of people. The ascension of the planet overall was to be 70% of the population make at least a one-dimensional jump. That's from 3 to 4. I'm not saying 3 to 5 or 3 to 7 or 3 to 9. I'm just saying 3 to 4. And at this point, 70% have made a one-dimensional jump in consciousness. Now, you can tell that is the case. Just go to your local bookstore and see how large the spiritual section is. Also, go look in the sci-fi section and see how big that has grown. Part of a shift of one dimension is a consciousness jump from believing that there's only one reality and one life to there's multiple realities and multiple lives. 70% of the population has made that jump. So as a result, we have cleared the worst case scenario. But back to the ET groups, there's some of them who aren't beyond that level of spiritual consciousness themselves. So they're hanging with where they are. That is their truth. There's nothing wrong with that truth. Some people on this planet will experience that level of catastrophe. Just look at all the people whose lives were destroyed by the flood. They've had their New Madrid fault already. And then there are people who will go through these next 2 years and they'll be virtually unscathed by it all because their level of consciousness is higher. So I'm just saying you can apply that to any group, whether it's Zetas or whoever. You know, I'm not here to say yay or nay about the Zetas. The Zetas are one of the groups. They're doing their best to help. They have their level of consciousness. If you want to join that bandwagon, go for it. I choose to think that we can do better.
Yeah, and the purpose why I brought this question on to the audience here tonight is just there's many of us that are fairly rookies, awakening and all that we need to be very careful to screen and filter so much stuff that is out there. And I know the galaxy and the cosmos is filled with so many different races and so much stuff out there, but we need to be very careful and very discerning and center ourselves in our hearts and to our with our guides and our because otherwise we might be deceived by so much information that we're not able to handle, we're not able to sort out what is happening, especially like the information that is geared towards doom and gloom that is going to drive fear into people and all that kind of stuff. So that is the reason why I brought that, and I do appreciate from the bottom of my heart the level of understanding and your wisdom and how deep you can explain in so much detail, you know. I'm so thrilled. I wish we can have another 3 or 4 hours, you know, but I don't have that luxury. I do appreciate, you know, you being with us, and I know it's not going to be the first time because I'm sure there's so much hunger and thirst from so many of us to really get to share so many of the goodies that everyone has brought to the planet in their own lives. So once again, Jalila, thank you so much. And I do appreciate it very much for all your sharing with us tonight. And back to Ariel, and thank you. And thank you, Lavanda, for being here. And thank you, Sierra, as well.
Felipe, you need to have your own radio show.
Yes.
I'm kind of taking over, right? I'm sorry, you know. And it was just kind of, I was trying to take a free ride here, you know.
Well, let me just say one thing more about this whole situation is that what we're experiencing on Earth right now is a replay of events in past worlds that we humans have lived on. Everything that is going on, the global elite, the wars, the racism, the hunger, the famine, the Earth, you know, all this has happened before. We have, as a collective group of souls on this planet, chosen to recreate these events to see if we can work through them in a more compassionate manner rather than giving in to our baser natures and just going to war with each other, because that's what's happened before. But out there in the galaxy, there is a lot of war. There's a lot of groups that are still warring with each other. One of the reasons we're here, we're sent here on Earth mission, is to find solutions to ancient conflicts that our people are involved in right now on their timeline that is causing them to possibly face extinction or total destruction or total assimilation by another species. We were sent here as the last hope of our people to get it, to find a solution. So when we deal with different off-world groups that seem to give us a lot of doom and gloom, you have to understand that these are groups that are probably still at war out there, and they don't see any other way. It's not to poo-poo what they have to say, but to understand it in the right context. This is a group that, or that's a group that is still looking for answers. And to take it in, understand where they're coming from, and then move on. It's not to fight them or try to destroy them. It's just to understand where they fit in a bigger picture. But we are the hope of the universe. We are the hope of these different species. Our purpose as a group, as humanity, is to become a seed race for a species that can inhabit the galaxy and be peacemakers. We know how to achieve compassion. We know how to find value in the dark as much as we do the light. That is our overall, beyond our individual missions, that is our purpose, our divine purpose, as I understand it, as a collective group of souls from various star systems here on this planet at this time.
That's very well said.
Yeah, that is great. You're right. So it's not only a matter of rectifying what went wrong in Lemuria and Atlantis, but so much more than that.
Yes.
That. Well, the fact of the matter, I do feel
different worlds. That's why I wrote about the different worlds and the different timelines in the book, so that the different starseeds could find their timelines that they're here to work on.
Right. But I do feel deep in my heart that we're going to make it fine.
We're going to make it. Everybody's going to make it to the level that they choose. See, that's the thing. Nobody controls how far you go in the ascension process. That's strictly up to you.
Right.
And it's going to depend on how much you can integrate the things around you that you dislike or you judge as wrong. Can you find the value in them?
That's right.
Can you be at peace with them?
Exactly.
Can the lion lay down with the lamb and not get eaten, or not eat the lamb?
Right.
So whether it's the reptilians fighting the humans or whatever, if you can find the value in the reptilians, then you've integrated a huge piece, because that's one of the major conflicts between the different reptilian groups and the human groups.
Yeah, because bottom line is that we all come from the same source.
Right, we're all souls taking up space in different vehicles, which are physical bodies. But, you know, you've probably been a Zeta, and I've probably been a reptilian, and I've been a feline, and I've been a Liquidian, and a cetacean, and a, you know. I really want to know what it was like to be an orb, though. That would be cool.
That's right. Well, thank you once again. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I mean, I could bring on another question, but there might be people in line to ask as well.
Okay.
Thank you very much,
Thanks
Elila.
Thanks for calling in, Felipe. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Felipe. Bye-bye. Well, let's move on. We have another caller, Brenda.
Yes,
you are on the air.
I have a question about some stuff that's been happening to me. I'm going to try to say this as quickly as I can. I lost triplets in 99. Then I developed a brain tumor later. And then after I worked real hard to get rid of it through Reiki and Qigong, and then about 3 years ago, I just suddenly developed a scoliosis with a 50-degree curve in my spine. Now, after that, I started seeing things like in the trees, you know, any surface I would look at, I would see different numbers or figures, whether it be a triangle, and I was seeing faces, but mostly numbers, and mostly the number 5. At first I thought, okay, great, God's trying to give me some lottery numbers. That's great. And then they weren't lottery, they were just random numbers, but mostly the number 5. And, of course, I was having a lot of strange dreams and, like, dreams with my grandmother. She died. Like, she died before I got scoliosis. And I think I got scoliosis because when she stroked in front of me, she was dead. And I put my hands on her, and I put all my energy into her, and she came back. And I got sick after that. And she came to me several times in my dreams. And in one of the dreams, she was on fire, but she wasn't burning. It was like a blue flame. And then she was sitting in a chair, and then I was sitting on her lap. In another dream, she was holding a glass vase, and the glass was made of light. and she put something in the vase, and the vase lit up with light, and it started to grow vines around it. Now, and I still see these numbers around, but I don't know what all of this stuff means. I don't know what's happening. I want to have children very badly, but I haven't been able to. And I know I want to teach school. I think that's what God wants me to do, but I don't know.
Okay, you know, I think those are great questions, and that's pretty interesting experiences you've had. But that would require actually communicating with your guides and tuning in, and that's kind of session material. I mean, that's what we would do, and it's not something I could really even begin to cover, you know, in the amount of time we have left. So I would highly recommend. You contact one of us to set up a time to get together and let's tune in and chat with your guides and get some of those answers, because I'd be interested in finding out myself.
Okay, so I just email you or?
Yeah.
Okay, so just email you and then you set up a time and we'll talk.
Yeah.
Okay,
now,
I'll do that.
Would you like to give your email address, Jalayla?
It's Jalayla, J-E-L-A-I-L-A.
Wait, let me write that down.
Earthlink.
Spell again.
At Earthlink. At earthlink.net.
So I don't email Lavendar, I just email Jalayla?
You could.
Okay. At earthlink.com, .net?
Yes, no, earthlink.net.
.net.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
okay.
And just remember, Brenda, that you're not alone and you have sources for a lot of help around you. So
okay.
Take a deep breath and decide to go upwards.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for calling, Brenda.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Brenda.
Okay, we have a caller, Lavendar, that you asked to call in with some information. This is kind of pertaining to last week's show, but I would like to just do this one before we move on. So this is Susan, who you asked to call in with information about the asteroid Magdalena. Susan, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, it was really great talking to you today, Lavendar. And I actually did have a few questions pertaining to the show, but we had spoken today about the asteroid Magdalena, and I have been looking at some charts and trying to see if there's some sort of a correlation between the asteroid and specific events in people's lives, and possibly a correlation between the bloodline of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. So I was actually thinking if anyone wanted to submit their birth date, I would be interested in looking, because I'm trying to track this and see where it might lead to.
Okay, and how would someone contact you?
Well, my email address is astrolunachick, all one word, @gmail.com. And if you could send your time of birth and place and date. And also, just make a note there, if you've had a reading by Lavendar, specifically if you've been connected to or feel connected to that particular bloodline. And I would really love to, if people want to participate in this, I'd appreciate some material. I would love it. It would be great. And I would be happy to give feedback to people for participating.
Great. Well, that sounds like a good research project, because we have been tracking the Mary Magdalene Jesus bloodline, through astrological markings, and then you have information on the asteroid Magdalena and seeing the correlation between the two. I think it'd be a fascinating research. So everyone, if you have been told that or feel a connection to the Mary Magdalene story, email is Astra, A-S-T-R-A, Luna, L-U-N-A, Chick, C-H-I-C, is that right?
Yeah, Astro, yep, Astro, it, Luna, Chick.
Astro with A-S-T-R-O?
Yes, A-S-T-R-O, L-U-N-A, C-H-I-C-K, at Gmail.
Okay. So if you feel the... feel the impulse, do contact her, and then we'll be looking forward to see how you track it out. Thanks for calling. You said you had another question about tonight's topic?
Well, yeah, I had a question for Lavendar. I was wondering if she had seen particular transits that would indicate someone would have a walk-in experience.
You know, I find that Venus, Uranus, Mars, Uranus, Sun, Uranus are contact points where electromagnetics allow for that energy to happen. So, yeah, there are several, but those really come to mind because they're kind of front and center.
Now, are those in the natal chart or a transit of, let's say, Uranus to another
planet? Well, it's a transit that will happen to the natal chart. The transits activate it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, Susan, thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you.
Was that it? You didn't have another question?
I don't know. I mean, is there more to say about the extraterrestrial origins of the Mary Magdalene and Jesus bloodline? Can we talk about that?
Lavendar, that's your call.
Okay. Well, it's just that it seems that, you know, when we were discussing some time ago about the 12 years that Jesus had that were missing, you know, what did he do in that period of time? And it is my understanding that in those 12 years, he impregnated a lot of women on the planet, and the bloodline has just been going and going and going, and at different points of activation, it keeps rising, you know, one drop of blood here, one drop of blood there, and so we just have so many light beings on the planet with this bloodline, and it has to do with, you know, taking your power, being able to heal, going forward to hold the light for others. It comes in so many different forms, but I'm very excited to know that we have so many now on the planet. And, of course, the Da Vinci Code book really let loose some information where people start tracking from and others. And, of course, Kathleen McGowan, when she wrote her three trilogies, the activation, the memories are starting to rise with the blood. You see, the blood and the memory and is happening simultaneously in soul memory. And as these astrological activations keep happening, it's always a step up. It's never backwards. It's always a step up. And we always say, when in doubt, just step up. You know, it's just part of our motto about no matter what's happening with you, just take your frequency one step higher and get out of where you are right now.
So now, did Jesus have a particular place of origin? Like, was he from the Pleiades or somewhere else?
Well, it's my understanding that he was, you know, his birth was planned 500 years ahead of time, to the point where everything that was made for him was made through the bloodlines of the people that would be here to help him. And he was a high genetic experiment, and it was from the Pleiades.
Hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Susan, for calling in.
Thank you, Susan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'd like to check back in with the chat room at this time. Hello, Purple Sage.
Hello.
Do we have any more?
I have one question, and this person would like to know, what is the link between the, I hope I say this right, Enki, E-N-K-I, and the Nibiru?
Enki is the son of Anu, who is the current ruler of Nibiru.
Okay, excellent. That's it.
That's a pretty straight answer to a straight question, isn't it?
I know.
Great. That was a good question. Thank you, chat room person. Okay. And that's all we have right now?
Yep.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Purple Sage. And
sure.
You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job handling both the chat room and the switchboard tonight. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, we have just about 20 minutes here, so Lavendar, do you have anything you want to add while I go down through the I have to go down through the switchboard here?
There was a gentleman that was going to call from Hawaii. I was looking for him to call in. He had quite an experience to share about what happened to him on Maui. During Pleiad in lineup, so I was hoping that he would. You didn't see a Skype or an 808 number come up?
No.
Okay.
No.
And also, anyone that wants to share anything that they weren't unable to share, because I know the night we had questions and answers about Pleiad in lineup. A lot of people didn't get a chance to call in. So if you have anything that you would like to share with us, please do so. And I want to give a shout-out to Joseph Portal, who is having a birthday, the 10th. And I sent him his solar return today. So our friend Joseph, happy solar return, my friend.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Joseph. I had a thought occur earlier if we had time, and it's kind of a personal request as to do the Emerald Ray for my galactic horse.
Okay, let's do that.
We can do that. For those who maybe are new to our show, there is a thing that we do. It's called the Emerald Ray, where you focus like a green, beautiful emerald green ray of light, like a laser emanating from you to a focal point. And I'd like to ask the group to come together and focus that emerald ray. My galactic horse is he's a Pleiadian in a horse suit, and he is dealing with anemia brought on by a kidney infection that he had that he's over with now, but he's really struggling and he's in a lot of pain. So could I please ask everyone to just take about 15 seconds here, take a deep breath collectively now as a group.
Well, we need to know where to send the energy.
Okay.
It needs to be in Cumming, Georgia, and his name is Avatar.
Right. He's in Cumming, Georgia. His name is Avatar, and he's a beautiful dark bay. So together, please, just focus the Emerald Ray for Avatar. 1, 2, 3. And we thank you so much for that healing energy for him. Okay. Now back to the show. I really do appreciate that. That touched me. I'm a little choked up here, so. Lavender, why don't you just...
Jalayla, anything that you would like to tell our audience about things that you think may be happening in the next, well, say the next 2 or 3 weeks? We have, you know, these 3 eclipses in 1 month, so which is, you know, really some timing mechanism for some of the experiments on the planet. Do you have anything you'd like to share with us about anything coming real soon? Is she still there?
Oh my goodness. Looks like her phone dropped off again. Well, she'll be calling back in here in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, well, while we're waiting for Jalayla to get back, where did she, she's going to come back here, I'm sure, in a minute. Now, I'm sure she's trying to get back on. Yeah, she fell off the switchboard. I guess she got disconnected. Well, you know, in 3 weeks, it's the Teton meetings again.
True.
You want to give a little thumbnail version of what happens in the Tetons and what might be coming up?
Okay. There's twice a year when certain souls are called to meet inside the mountain in the Grand Tetons in Wyoming. And those times are January 1 through 7 and July 1 through 7. And these are times when 144,000 will always be in attendance every 45 minutes for a period of 7 days and 7 nights. And a lot of our listeners and a lot of our clients and people that I talk to will be at these meetings. And what happens is a kind of an update for soul advancement for their particular missions and their particular lives and their alignments. It's all about alignment. And sometimes it's about resetting their alignment. There's an emerald ray that is given to everyone to reset their soul's missions and to help them if they have walk-ins or if they have things that they're really wanting to do on the planet. And they find out whether their name's on it or not. A lot of people show up at these Tetons, and from time to time they'll say, well, you know, the last time you were here, you know, we showed you what your name was on, then you came back and it was somebody else's name. We're seeing that a lot. It's like, oh, but my friend is doing that. I want to go do that one. And of course, at the next meeting they'll say, you know, here, this is your alignment. You need to stay true to your alignment so that you will, you know, have the proper place to put your energies, because that's what alignment is. And remember, there's never any competition with alignment. Competition does not even can be in the same breath with alignment. There's no competition with alignment. You either are or you're not. So I think that... this next meeting inside the Tetons is going to be, really a whippersnapper. I really am looking forward to a lot of discussions, a lot of things happening. The thing that I learned the first time that I went was that 45 minutes is equal to 2 weeks there. There's a timeline difference, and so it's like you get that much information and 45 minutes.
And every 45 minutes, they beam in another 144,000. So you spread that out over 7 days and 7 nights. There are huge activations, and we've had reports from people at prior Teton meetings when they were aware of the timing of it, so they paid more attention, and people have recollections of being there sometimes, or that they had amazing activational timings either during that time or immediately following. And all the most ascended masters and councils of light and galactic federation and crystal brotherhood, and I mean the attendance of the ETs inside the mountain is it's like a who's who of the galaxy.
Yeah, true.
And we have a lot of our members that participated and gave reports about that. So we'll be looking for that. We'll probably do a show on that either during the time or right after the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Lavendar, you've been a scribe for the proceedings over the years.
Yeah.
And have a lot of information on that, which we'll be sharing in another show. I'm still looking for Jalayla's number to come back up on the switchboard, and it's not. So I feel like we need to do a little two-step here. Let's. When in doubt, go to the chat room. Okay, get ready, Maureen. Here we come. Purple Sage, here we come. Purple Sage, what's happening in the chat room?
Just the same thing. I have no questions. I'm
okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's happened. Somehow, Jalayla's been disconnected. She might be having trouble getting back in. Maybe her phone ran out of battery. I don't know what, but there's nothing I can do to get her back until she calls in.
Right.
Well, I can try calling her number and see if I can get through to her, because I hate to end the show with her just falling out like that.
You go ahead and talk? Let me try to call her. Let me go out, and then I'll come back in.
All righty.
Okay.
Can do that.
All right.
Okay, Purple Sage, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, while Lavendar is trying to get Jalayla back, I want to recap her website is www.nibiruancouncil, and that's spelled nibiruancouncil.com. And her email address is Jalayla, Jalayla, at earthlink.net.
Okay. How are you?
Sierra, I was just about to start talking to you.
Wonderful. Listen, why don't we give those dates of the different eclipses of this month? Do you have those captured anywhere so that people can know when they are and maybe just do a little quick touch on what we can do to prepare ourselves for that, or what the different phases we might be experiencing, maybe?
I don't have those dates, but I do know that eclipses mark events, and it's always a good idea to keep your eyes open and your ears open, and when things happen, you can look for deeper meaning, things that might appear to be coincidental, but they're really not. They have a deeper or higher meaning to them. That would be a good time to pay attention. I also would like to take this opportunity to invite everyone, if you have not already, to join our forum at starseedhotline.ning. That's starseedhotline.ning.com. And I just posted a couple of articles there, and I'm going to repost them in our Vault of Knowledge, but two things that I think would be really helpful to the audience, to everyone, would be the Starseed Tool Belt, which I presented on a radio show, I guess, a few months ago. And it's a list of, I think, about seven things that we consider essential. And the top of the list is taking silica every day, because if you feel disconnected or depressed, or like you're not getting messages from your high command, it very well could be that your silica levels in your body are depleted, because cell phones, computers, electromagnetics, they just suck the silica right out of your body. And without that, it's like having a cell phone with no battery, or, you know, being in a dead zone somewhere where you feel like you're out of touch with the world. So if you get some silica, there's all different kinds and forms, and you just take it every day. And you have to keep replenishing it every day. That's just one of the things for your starseed tool belt. And we have Jalayla back. Great. And that's, to finish my point there, that's on our forum, Starseed Tool Belt, as well as How to Manifest Prosperity, which is an audio file that you can access either on our website or in the forum. And there's something there that everyone can use. So let's get back to Jalayla. Welcome back, Jalayla. I'm glad. I thought maybe you got beamed up or something.
No, I got disconnected and the call dropped. And we've had some power outages around here the last hour or so. So I'm outside. It's a little noisy. I'm going to try to get to a much quieter place. I'm on a cell phone now.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad that you're back, because I would have hate to not be able to wrap up our show with you, because it's been such a great exchange of information and some really, really good observations from your perspective and from your guides and the beings that you channel. So, Lavendar, you're back too.
Yes, and I wanted to ask you, Jalayla, you know, that we have these three eclipses, you know, this in this one-month period, and it looks like we have a lot of different things that are going to be happening. Do you have any insight to anything that may be happening because of these three eclipses in 1 month?
You know, I haven't really studied that enough yet to really give an answer.
Okay.
Well, Lavendar, what is your take? I mean, you have a lot of experiences with eclipses because they've marked major events in your life.
Well, yes. Well, it's about a 19-year cycle, you know, where things that you were doing 19 years ago has now ended, and new things start. And they have to do with a lot of guard in the way of physical influence on the planet, and also, you know, that includes assassinations of leaders and kinds of the turnaround. It's about turnaround. One thing ends, another one starts, and where the eclipse patterns happen, you kind of look for those old programs to end and new ones to start. So I'm not really familiar with where the eclipses are going to hit on the planet. I'm sure there's websites that do show that. But I just thought it was most unusual that we're going to have three within 30 days. I just thought it was, you know, kind of another wake-up call for, you know, watching the timing of things.
And that is one of the things that I was talking while you guys were gone about the Starseed Tool Belt and understanding celestial occurrences. And planetary placements is essential. You have to know what's coming, what to time things. There are certain times when the wind will be at your back, and there's other times when it'll be in your face. And it's always better to pick the wind at your back and have the assistance of planetary energy. And so do check out any astrological timings as they relate to your chart, and in that post that I did, I have places where you can go and look up things. So I had a question for Jalayla, and now it just fell out of my brain. I think I need some more silica. I'm sorry, I can't think of it.
Well, it's about time for our show to be over. So, Jalayla, I want to thank you so much for being our guest, and I hope that you come back and be our guest again sometime.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so, so very, very much. You're okay,
welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It was really great to have you here once again. Jalayla's website is www.nibiruancouncil.com. Well, thank you so much to our listeners. Thank you to our chat room listeners. Thank you so much, Purple Sage, for handling both the switchboard and the chat room tonight. Mystic will be back next week. Sierra, thank you for joining us. And we do hope that you will share the show with your Starseed friends. And we will see you next week and every week at Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here at Starseed Radio Academy. Thank you so much, everybody. Good night, ladies.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.